Welcome to the most inappropriate book club you never knew you were missing. Featuring at least 3 different books every week. Starring Martha Steele, the weirder the book, the better. Vonnie Golden, historical fiction with a side of trauma porn. Keith Steigert, reading the books your mother warned you about. Megan Runyon, reading YA and whatever her current fixation is. Pat Griner, refusing to read by the rules, as a rule. These people are passionate about books, maybe a little too passionate. Plotting world domination, one book at a time. They are 3 book girls.
Oh, and Martha, I want you to know that I completely used restraint while watching TikTok.
You used restraint? What? What? Why?
Because there was a TikTok about who sung Jolene better.
She's haunting you.
Dolly Parton, Miley Cyrus, or Beyonce, and they had all 3 songs, like part of it.
Miley does one hell of a Jolene.
She does
no
all
one
right.
No will beat Dolly, because Dolly is the gold standard. But if I had to pick between Do Not Come For Me, People of Beyonce.
If I had to pick
between Miley and Beyonce, I would pick Miley.
Yeah. I mean, Miley, I'm not a huge Miley fan. I don't think that she has very much range.
She does not. She's not known for, like, her high note range. She's known for her, like, raspy, whatever that is. Although I would take Miley over JoJo Siwa any day.
I think that she did do Jolene better than, I will have to say.
Beyonce.
I will have to say she did.
10 minutes. 10 minutes. I think so. No!
Megan's got the squeaks.
In her chair?
Yes. She's whining her butt off about it.
My chair squeaks. Whoa!
No.
Makes me think about Mr. Darcy. Todd Keith, you would have loved Mr. Darcy.
Oh, like not the guy from
No, Mr. Darcy is a basset hound.
Oh.
Who is the mascot of the bookstore that we went up to in Guthrie last weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Basset hounds look so ridiculous anyway. I mean, they're just weird looking. I like really low key dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And he was super low key. And she's like, oh, well, he's just exhausted. That's why he's low key, because he's only a year old. It's like, man, if I could have a
pup. It was just because there wasn't a mystery to solve.
Every basset hound needs a mystery.
And a Sherlock hat.
Yep. Got a shop and a pipe. Don't forget the pipe.
I mean, dogs. We're in a healthier society now.
Yeah, that's true.
No, basset hounds always need a pipe.
Dogs aren't allowed to smoke.
4 minutes.
It's bad for their lungs.
But he does need a little jacket. Sorry, Martha. I know how you feel about dogs and clothes.
It would be a waistcoat, I believe, is the term.
Right,
yes. We need, yes. But that's different because he's a character, not a dog.
Who are we talking about?
We're talking about how, if there's a basset hound involved, he has to solve a mystery and he has to have a little Sherlock Holmes hat and
yes.
a pipe.
Yes.
I'm not really sure where that imagery comes from. Do you remember? Do we know?
It's not Wishbone, because Wishbone wasn't a basset
everywhere.
Hound.
It's a cartoon from the 80s, isn't it?
In 3 minutes.
She's
2 minutes.
Megan is going to make me punch her in the boob.
Well, it's about time she got her share of boob punches.
I agree.
Rude.
Megan, so I keep watching press. Like, I like watching the late night shows after they've already been on so that somebody will make the highlight reels for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all over the place talking about, you know, Rob McElhaney from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
He was born on April 14th. And everybody was saying how, did you see how like Ryan Reynolds had a picture made of him? Like
no.
with the locket from the Titanic? Because
oh,
they were like, because it, like they drew him like
one
you
of
know,
your French
girls. French
girls. Yeah.
And then they marketed the shirts.
Oh, but the Titanic sank on the 15th. But she.
Thank you. And the whole time, like, I was watching it with that Big Adam, and he, and I was like, you know what? I shouldn't know this, and I'm kind of sad that I do, but the Titanic didn't actually sink on the 14th. It sank on the 15th.
Yeah.
It started to sink on the 14th.
Somebody,
and my husband is like, what? Somebody, and I'm like, see, now I know this garbage.
The actual ship sank at like 2:20 in the morning on
what
the 15th.
Fuck are we talking about this again for?
Because it was Keith was talking about it. You weren't listening.
I was busy.
Well, I'm about to be busy too for 3.5 minutes when I got in this
Has
hallway.
Has anybody in here watched Resident Why? Alien yet?
Hasn't started yet.
Have you watched Resident Alien yet?
I have.
Oh my fucking God, I love that show so much.
Is that the one with the Firefly guy? And
yes.
And he's really awkward? Okay, yes.
Oh, I love that show so much.
Ugh, 2 minutes.
I love it so much that last night I went on a Zoom
Don't
call.
Don't spoil it. I'm not that far.
No, no. I went on a Zoom call with the writer of the show and two of the guys who are like, one of them was a producer and one of them was a director, I think. They and the girl who does the voice of the alien baby.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool because, you know, they talked about some of the different things.
Hi, Pat.
They did while filming, and I love that show so ridiculously a lot.
Are you watching Fallout? That seems your kind of show.
I didn't really get into that. I think I only watched the first episode and I'm like,
1 minute.
Well, the first episode was dumb.
Yeah.
There was no monsters and stuff in it. There was just weird people.
So I need to keep going is what you're saying?
Although, let me say that TV shows should have to have trigger warnings if they're going to kill puppies.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because they threw one in the incinerator because it didn't weigh, they had to weigh 10 ounces. And if they were any littler than that, they threw them in the incinerator.
That's some baby eating level.
Alive.
Oh my God.
Yeah, German shepherds, because they raised them in
the apocalyptic Fallout. 3 minutes and some odd seconds.
Megan,
what are you doing, Megan?
She has to go
Taylor
away
Swift
because
video's premiering.
She is. That's why the boob punch, because she's all Swiftied up today.
Talk all the shit you want.
We're gonna talk shit about you while you're gone. I told her before this. I said, you have less than 3 minutes to talk about Taylor Swift. And if you talk any more than that.
Can I just say that I listened to Shona G, Shona L.
I know.
And Donna.
I know.
All wax poetic about Taylor Swift
today. I don't understand it. What is, what? What am I missing?
Well, she's probably the most successful female musician ever.
Well, yeah, she is. But what I mean is, yeah, it's really cool that she dropped the music, but it just happened. You got to have a chance to like listen to it and catch up, because she dropped 2 albums last night.
Two,
and I'm like, well, I haven't even had the chance to listen to any of them, so I can't participate until I know if I like them. Well, we played.
Okay, well, how have you not done that already? Even my husband's listened to the album.
No, I haven't.
I mean, I haven't. Just,
you know why though? Is because I am going to have to be listening to every one of those songs a million times.
Oh.
So that's probably why I don't get it, because I have to deal with it every single day. It's part of my life.
I don't know any of those songs, but man, I was in a like a chat today, and it was like they were trying to decide what every song, what person every song was about.
You're
talking
about. I was
like, damn, she really hurt a lot of people. Like, and I mean, it's fine. I mean, I don't get it. Brittany and I are the only ones being like, we are together in our not understanding.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one being not extra about it right now.
Who's Taylor Swift again?
So what is she doing now?
She's watching Taylor Swift's video, which just dropped at 7 o'clock.
Why does she do that?
Because,
I mean, Taylor Swift. Why?
I'm like, it's gonna be here for the rest of our lives. We're gonna.
Just
it's we're gonna be.
At once.
We're gonna be over stimulated.
Listen, Megan still has the naivety to think there's magic in the world. We know better. She doesn't yet. Let's just see how this rides out.
Okay. I guess you're right. Are you done?
So wait a minute.
Okay, I'm back.
Are you saying that there's no magic? Like
there's
Harry
no
Potter's
magic.
Not real?
No.
What?
Sorry.
You can't just spring that on me after I just came back from watching Taylor Swift delaying this whole process.
That's specifically why she said it.
You bitch.
The only magic in the world is evil. Evil magic has wiped out all the good magic.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
No.
No, there never was any magic.
What about the magic of love?
Mm-hmm.
That's a myth.
Yep.
That's something that Fox News made up.
You are a fucking Scrooge today, and I'm going to need you to quit it.
What about Girl Scout cookies?
What?
Girl Scout cookies. That's magic.
That's true. Okay.
That's
we'll
crack. No. That's
crack.
That's alchemy. That's
no one will love you like a Girl Scout cookie.
It's true.
You cannot convince me there's not something in those cookies.
And you know how I know
Walmart
that they love
makes
me?
The same thing and they're just not as good.
Because they stay right here on my hips forever. Because
there's Girl Scouts in them.
It's ground up.
Okay, Sweeney Todd.
Love me some zombie books. How about Girl Scouts as zombies? That'd be awesome.
I'm pretty sure there was one of those in The Walking Dead, if I remember correctly.
Oh, was there?
Nice.
I don't remember. There was lots of little children.
I was just being ghoulish. Ignore me.
Whatever. No one can harsh my vibe today, so whatever.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of Swifty dust up her ass.
Yep. 31 songs, baby. I woke up to a surprise album drop. It wasn't really that big of a surprise. She'd been hinting at it for days. But we finally got an Easter egg right, so yay. Swifties.
So you weren't up at 12 and 2?
She was up at 12.
Well, it's 11 our time because it released at midnight Eastern time.
Mm.
So I happened to be awake. I had actually was in bed, like, okay, I'll listen to it in the morning. And then I rolled over and looked at the clock and it was like 11:59. And I was like, wow, I guess I'm still awake. But
were
I was
still awake. At
she's
one
full of
no.
shit. She's full of shit. She totally stayed up and watched it.
No, I was literally in my bed. Like phone
she's
on.
Full of shit.
I am not. I would own it if I was planning to stay up. I was like, I'll just listen to it later.
Look how she's getting all defensive and whatnot.
I had not planned to be up. I was in my bed. PJ's on. Phone on. Do not disturb.
Mm-hmm.
No. So then I listened to the first half, and then when we got the surprise drop this morning on my way to work, I listened to it, and then I listened to it like three times in a row.
And now she's singing along, and it's really on my last nerve because I can't hear the song because Megan's singing over top.
Yep.
Let me just say, if an author did that and they, like, I don't know, dropped like half a book and then like 2 weeks later decided to drop the other half and then like later that night decided to drop the epilogue, I'd be annoyed.
Same.
Dude, that would drive me fucking nuts.
Well, people were just happy that we got a double album finally.
So that's the next 5 years of my life, basically, is Taylor Swift. And you're wondering why I'm not excited. Anyway.
So in book news this
thank
week.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, Martha, speaking of things dropping, okay, I've got a question for you about the three-body problem. Because
okay.
I finished listening to that this week.
Is this a spoiler? Because I'm going to watch the show eventually.
No. Okay. This is just a question about, did you read it or did you listen to it on audiobook?
I think I listened to it on audio.
Because I'm just curious about why, because apparently this version, was it somebody other than Rosalind Chao who read it? Is that why this, because I mean, this thing got sent to us like it was a new release, but the book came out, what, darn near 20 years ago.
Well, yeah. The Netflix special came out, so maybe they did a re-relaunch.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah.
It's probably because a new person did the audiobook. Yeah. A lot
because
of times when we get
the
Macmillan audios, it's because somebody like real good or famous.
Is it really old audio? Or does it
well,
sound?
No, I mean, the one I listened to is the new, it's the new one by Rosalind Chao, who's in the Netflix version.
Oh, okay.
And is a Star Trek actor, so I knew who she was from ages back. But I was just curious because I listened to it and it was like, I have never had a book end where I was just like, wait, you end it? I mean, it was so obvious. It was, well, why he did not just write a longer book? Because that book ended.
It was
nothing was resolved. Nothing was.
Yeah.
It was just like, what?
Oh, can't wait
I find
to watch
it incredibly awkward and difficult to read.
I'm excited to watch the show even more now, if you guys are that perplexed by the book.
The show is probably much easier to follow, and they have reordered a lot because I watched the show and I listened to the audiobook, and they changed the order that you get a lot of the information.
Well, that would
be helpful. I haven't watched the show yet. I was kind of waiting. Five of the biggest book publishers.
No, I totally missed that. I read the Smithsonian thing, but I missed the other one.
Yeah,
yeah. I sent two at the same time.
I was like, what are y'all talking about?
Yeah,
Hatchet, HarperCollins. Oh, there's Macmillan. Yeah, Simon and Schuster and Macmillan joined Penguin House, who initially filed. Okay, Penguin Random House. Yeah. I know. I saw that in there somewhere.
I saw the Macmillan thing because somebody on BookTok had posted their tweet saying that they had joined.
So, but I mean, this is really awesome because they are suing the state of Iowa.
Yes.
For book banning activity, which, you know, somebody really should have done this a long time ago. You can't decide for everyone what they want to read. You just can't. To protect publishers in a joint statement.
Because Iowa's trying to ban everything and its mother, right? Like here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, pretty much. And I can't wait till they sue the state of Oklahoma.
Hey, maybe they'll back Edmund schools and they'll be
I'm sure they will, because this is it's ridiculous. You can't say, well, you know, we can't talk about gay people in books. Yes, we can, because we have gay people. You just don't want to face the truth.
Mm-hmm. And to make it fair, if they're not going to talk about gay couples and they can't talk about straight couples, and if they're not going to talk about straight couples or gay couples, then they just basically can't have any books in school whatsoever, except for nonfiction.
It's just ridiculous. We could go on for days on this.
Yes.
But I
think it's impressive that the publishers
are finally standing up and saying,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, because they're going to start losing business.
Oh, they already have, I'm sure.
Oh,
and
I'm sure.
And the stigma that people are trying to put on those books is a mistake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got anything that could be banned today, Vonnie, so that we could start out?
Well, it might put you on a list.
That's ominous.
We'll take that.
Check the equipment quite often as I review this book. That it doesn't go off.
I am.
Did you unplug the computer?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So the book I read this week is a nonfiction that was recommended to me at the book mingle that we did at Second Story.
Woo!
By Sandy.
Yay, oh, yes, Sandy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Sandy.
And it's called The Demon in the Freezer by Richard Preston.
Awesome.
I'm intrigued.
And this is about biological weapons.
Oh, we are for sure. Shit is going to turn off. Watch that carefully.
So it talks about the first major bioterror event that happened in the United States, which I'm sure most of us remember. You were born in, when were you born? You were born by 2000, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I was born in 85.
Okay, all right. The anthrax attacks in 2001. It also talks about smallpox and how they've come across strains that are weaponized smallpox and how absolutely horrifying it is.
I mean, in all honesty, smallpox started out as unknown warfare when we colonized.
They genetically change it.
Yes.
So that they can weaponize it.
And I guess I just didn't even realize how deadly smallpox was. I didn't realize how much that it does to your body. I thought it was just like chicken pox. You just get a rash. It goes away.
Mm-mm.
But holy shit. And anthrax, I didn't realize how deadly anthrax is. I didn't know that it liquefies your insides and you bleed through every little orifice in your body until you basically have no blood left.
Yeah, there's some pretty horrifying shit
there's
out
some,
there.
Yeah.
Even more terrifying is that the CDC isn't the only place that has these smallpox and anthrax. It talks about during the anthrax attack and those letters went through the post office and everything. And anthrax, by that point, had been altered where it had almost really fine sand particles around it, which made it more of a gas than a powder. So when it went through the post office sorting machines, it basically went through the pores of the paper and got into the air vents and everything in these post offices. But just to think that there's just that kind of power out there, nobody's safe. And it's just, it's extremely terrifying. And this book is a lot of facts, terrifying facts. So I wanted to keep reading it. But there are little tidbits of like people's lives. Like they talk about this one lady who works with smallpox. You know, she talks about how she has to get into this, like basically this space suit with a suit underneath it, latex glove underneath the space gloves to be able to work with this stuff. And they're not allowed to have anything sharp in there. So she has like a pair of these safety scissors and she's trying to open like a top and she jams it into her thumb enough to make her thumb bleed. And
now her suit's compromised.
Suit's compromised. So she has to leave and then she has to go quarantine because she's been exposed. And the whole reason why that happened is because she was already kind of sick and running a fever when she went to work.
Oh, dear.
So, I mean, it's just...
I got some full body chills right now.
Mm-hmm. That gave me... I was like, holy shit. I'm listening to that going, oh, my God. This girl's going to die. And I'm not going to tell you what happens to her. But so read the book. And like they talk about the families that were affected who worked at the post office mm-hmm. with the anthrax scare. Now, I will have to say, just trigger warning, they experiment on monkeys. Mm. And also, I didn't know, they talk a little bit about like cowpox mm-hmm. and monkeypox and all mm-hmm. these. And
all
they
the
said in India, they actually genetically altered mouse pox to help get rid of their mouse problem. But yeah, I mean, if you want to be absolutely terrified and not sleep at night, this is the book for you. And like I said, there is harming of animals in this book because they test on monkeys. And it does have a lot of sections that are very factual. Not quite textbook, but very factual. So keep that in mind if you read it. It was a really good book, and I read it in like 2 days at work while I was eating salad from the salad bar that everybody breathes on. So I was really feeling great about that. Thank you, Sandy, for making me terrified of everything. That'll be the next nonfiction book I read and am absolutely terrified on is how food is produced.
Don't do it.
Actually, I think I did read a book like that once.
Only 1% of all of our imported food is physically inspected by the FDA. Oh, you're welcome.
I know. Yeah. It's terrifying. I don't know why we're not all dead yet. Natural selection. I must have something going on inside me that keeps me safe. That, again, is called The Demon in the Freezer by Richard Preston. Maybe that's why I have so many stomach problems now. It's just now catching up with me.
She's going to be self-diagnosing for the rest of the day now.
It's smallpox.
Oh, my God, I have
anthrax. Is that why you won't eat anything, Megan?
Yes.
So let's move along, shall we?
Keith, do you have a romancy happy place or a romancy dark place?
No, I have a happy book.
Oh, yay.
We'll take that.
So the book I'm reviewing this week is called Their Last Resort by R.S. Gray. And for anybody who has Amazon Prime, they have those Prime first reads. So every month you should make sure because you always get one free book. And it's usually like coming out to be published the next month. So you get it like early. Sometimes they even have two. So, and that's a free benefit that everybody who has Prime gets. And this was one of the Prime first reads for April. So it's still available for free. And it's actually being published May 1st. So you can read it early if you are a Prime member.
Nice.
I love it. A free book you're going to review. Yeah. That's awesome.
So yeah, this book is about a woman named Paige, and she is this happy-go-lucky person that goes on all sorts of travels, and she has she is on this really luxurious island resort in Turks and Caicos, and she works there full time as one of the like the excursion leader. So she organizes recreation. Lots of cruises come in, so she does port of call kind of stuff. But unfortunately, she's really good at her job and everybody likes her, but she tends to have some, she has a lot of like accidents because she, you know, you're setting up hikes for people and there's going to be someone who's going to eat stinging nettles because they're stupid. So she has a lot of that kind of thing going on, which makes the assistant director of the resort, Cole, just kind of roll his eyes and not happy about when she makes his life difficult. And the two of them are very opposite. She's sunshine and happiness, and she thinks everything's great. He is this stuffed shirt accountant sort of guy. He's really socially awkward. And she is the life of the party. So the two of them are kind of enemies about everything. And watching them fight about stuff on this island is hysterical. This is one of those books. It's really short. It's only 250 pages. It has a really steamy romance. It has lots of crazy old people. You know, she is working in a customer service related industry. And one of the best parts about this book, a lot of people like third person narrative. I really like when we get into the characters' heads, especially when they're really just all over the place like this woman. You'll be reading and Paige is just saying, she's just saying everything she's thinking. And you hear all the things she's thinking too. Just hysterical banter back and forth, hysterical thoughts that are constantly in her head. She talks about the weirdest things. She thinks of the weirdest things at the weirdest time. At one point, she has a whole like little debate with herself about whether or not everybody's wearing like high-waisted jeans. She's saying, I don't understand. Are we doing skinny jeans still? Are high-waisted jeans still in? I don't understand. What's going on? Somebody help me. I must say,
no one knows.
I was just going to say, I don't have any idea what's going on with the jeans thing either. As far as my kids say, they just wear pajama pants all the time. So everything is just hysterical and funny. And the two of them just say the most ridiculous, think the most ridiculous things and makes you laugh out loud. It would be the epitome of a palate cleanser because, I mean, not a lot of really intense stuff happens because it's just funny and they just, and it's a love story. And it's also a story about a hurricane that comes in an island of Turks and Caicos. And this hurricane comes while they have the hotel booked with doomsday preppers. And the doomsday preppers are so insanely happy that the island is getting hit by a hurricane. But none of them really know what to do in an emergency situation. So the staff of this island, the rescues and the injuries they have to fix, oh my goodness, it was hysterical and lighthearted and just really easy to read. And I mean, don't go into it thinking that it's going to be Dickens, because it's not. I mean, and I say that because so many of the reviews were like, 3-star reviews because they were like, I mean, this was fun, but I don't know. It's not prize winning literature. It's just fun.
It's a romance. What do they expect?
Well, you know, so a lot of the romances have all these issues and everything else. No, this book is just her thinking about closet space and that kind of thing. So
fair enough.
If you're looking for something to read quick so that you can add books to your Goodreads goal for the year, this is a good one. And that was Their Last Resort by R.S. Gray.
I was going to tell you something, and I just thought about it.
Go what? For it.
Friday or Thursday, I was talking to some people at work. And did you know that they have headphones that that will translate in real time?
Yeah. That's cool.
It's a babblefish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like a babblefish from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Except for instead of putting a yellow fish in your ear, you're putting headphones in your ears.
I mean, we can make them look like fish. How cool would that be?
Somebody needs to do that. Little rubber fish, yellow fish headphones
that translate.
I want one that looks like a fish.
I think those are actually called Babbel, though.
Are they?
I think so.
Well, that's the first time I heard of them. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Oh, my God. We don't have flying cars, but we definitely have something that translates in real life. But does it translate alien language?
Well, Babbel is an actual program.
I think
Babbel is an actual program. Reason in the Bible why there are different languages.
Fair.
So it all fits.
It all fits. All right. So this week I am reviewing a book that we were sent by Grace from Spark Point. So thank you, Grace, for sending it over. I actually ended up buying it when we did our bookstore crawl because I suck at reading digital ARCs. I am the literal worst, but thank you still, Grace, for sending it to us and for bringing it to our attention. So this week I am reviewing The Last Days of the Midnight Ramblers by Sarah Tomlinson, and I would just call this fiction because there's not really romance, it's not historical, it's just fiction. So Mari's our main character, and she is a ghostwriter. And she's done, like, Real Housewives of L.A. ghostwriting, like, doing memoirs for, like, famous celebrity reality-type people. And she likes being a ghost. She likes ghostwriting. And she is a Rambler fan. So the Ramblers were at, like, their peak of popularity in the 70s. So there was lots of drugs and rock and roll and drinking and all that. So we have Mal, and he is kind of the creator of the Ramblers, of the Midnight Ramblers. And he, and this is not a spoiler because it happens very early, he dies. And there's a lot of mystery about how he dies because he is found dead in his pool at like midnight or 1 o'clock. And there's supposed to be like this huge concert at the Hollywood Bowl the next day. So the band had been at practice, but he wasn't at practice. And, like, who was really at practice? So it's kind of like a mystery. And there's a recording, like a bootleg recording of the practice that was happening, the rehearsal that was happening, that Mari has gotten her hands on as a proper fangirl does. And she gets tapped to be the ghostwriter. And I'm probably going to say this character's name wrong, but I'm going to say Annick. And so Annick is from Germany, and she like hooked up early on to the Midnight Ramblers. So she was actually married to Mal when he died. Then she married Dante, which was the other band member, and they had a son almost immediately, and the timeline's a little gray on that one. And then her and Dante fell apart. And then she ended up with Jack. So she basically was dated and or married to like every single person in this band. And then she goes on and has a different relationship. And so now we're kind of in her later life and she's wanting to write this memoir. So Mari has been tapped to do the memoir. She goes out and spends time with her and she's like, I want to know what happened to Mal. Like, I'm going to keep asking questions and see if I can like figure this out. So Odin is Annick's son. And he's kind of like her assistant, and he is kind of trying to make sure the messaging and the words come out right. And anytime she starts to get somewhere, like Annick like pulls back. So you know that there's secrets being kept all over the damn place. And then she ends up also going to see Dante, who's also apparently wanting to write a memoir. And so she's trying to like get to all these people. And when she's with Dante, and that's when she's still, because the band is still together and still touring. So this is when she gets like her deep dive kind of inside look. You meet Sigrid, and Sigrid is kind of like their fixer, their day-to-day manager. And she's, to me, a little bit of a red flag because she's just always there. Like if Mari tries to get a conversation with somebody or like, if Sigrid feels like the conversation's going the wrong direction, she'll be like, hey, no, remember this was what happened, and tried to like steer the conversation. But there's so many secrets. Like, as you go through the book, you start to like piece together all these secrets, and you're kind of like, okay, what actually happened to Mal? Did someone kill him? Did he accidentally drown in an overdose? Like, and it's just kind of a journey of her becoming a ghostwriter, learning how to be a really good ghostwriter, and also getting behind the curtain. Cause I can't imagine like sitting down with like NSYNC or somebody. That would be the my closest other than like a Taylor Swift reference, but like sitting down with like whoever, Lance Bass's boy or husband now, and like getting the tea on NSYNC. Like, it's kind of that same vibe of trying to get that information. I enjoyed it. I thought the end seemed slightly improbable, but also like could happen. It just kind of, I think, depends on like how it was handled without giving anything away. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good read. And you just kind of have to read to find out what happened to all these people and how they're all connected, because there are like so many different dynamics of relationships. And oh, and the chapter titles are basically like the directions on like how to be a ghostwriter. So it's like chapter one, befriend them. Chapter two, like, and so it's kind of fun way to headline like of how to be an effective ghostwriter. So that was fun. Yeah. So if you want to see kind of maybe some behind the scenes rock and roll type vibes, I would recommend The Last Days of the Midnight Ramblers by Sarah Tomlinson. And thank you again to Grace.
Moving right along to Pat.
Not too surprisingly, we're going into the Wayback Machine again.
Yay!
This is a book that I picked up. I picked it up because it's by an author who I had in college set out to read everything by and never did finish that. I am awed by people who say, I have read everything by whatever author. And, you know, unless you pick somebody who wrote like two books. And I have uniformly pretty much picked the wrong people to try and do that with throughout my life. Like, at one point, I remember early on thinking, I had to read everything Stephen King writes. Well, I mean, you could devote your life to it full time and you would never keep up. And amazingly prolific. But in college, I set out to read a lot of kind of the holy three of hippie literature. Hesse, Brodigan, and Vonnegut. And out of the three, Hesse's just too depressing. Brodigan didn't hold up well, but Vonnegut still has something to say to us. And so I picked up a book of Vonnegut's at this sale that I had never read. It's called Galapagos by Kurt Vonnegut. It's a very weird book. And this is not surprising if you've read much of any Vonnegut. It doesn't have the heavy kind of overtones of Slaughterhouse-Five. It's not quite as light as some of his short stories, but he just does such interesting stylistic things. The book is ostensibly about a voyage, the nature voyage of the century, that's supposed to take place aboard a brand new cruise ship that is going to go from Ecuador, from Guayaquil in Ecuador, out to the Galapagos Islands. Except a lot of things happen that make sure this voyage never takes place as it was originally intended. For one thing, they had invited and hoped to have a whole cast of celebrities on board this voyage, headlined by Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. Let's see, who else was supposed to be there? Mick Jagger.
Wow.
Right away, putting those two together, you go, it could be could make for some interesting conversations. But neither of them or any of the other celebrities that they book for this thing ever shows up. In fact, six people are actually there in the hotel in Ecuador to board the ship. Everyone else got the word that things were falling apart and this voyage really was never going to happen. For one thing, there's a political revolution going on in Ecuador, and there's a lot of shooting and a lot of bombing and a lot of unrest and various other things. There's a virus that has just been released in the world that they haven't quite realized is going to become a huge pandemic. And the virus gets into women's ovaries and destroys their eggs. So basically, the virus is going to end the human race. The six people who show up for this voyage, the principal one that we follow is Mary Hepburn, who was a retired high school biology teacher. Her husband had signed them up for the voyage as soon as tickets became available. He was the first person to buy them 2 tickets on this voyage. And then before the voyage could happen, he died of cancer. And one of the things he made her promise on his deathbed was that she would go on the trip. So Mary has come to Ecuador to go on the trip. There's a billion gazillionaire type investor and his daughter, who is blind, and her seeing eye dog, who does not count as one of the 6 people. There's a Japanese inventor who has created, and we were just talking about headphones that translate. Well, he's created a little box that translates any language into most any other language and supplies helpful quotes on any topic you feed into it and can diagnose over 1,000 different diseases. So, handy little box. There's his wife who is pregnant. And then there's a guy named, depending on which name he gives you, he's really Willard Fleming, but he goes by an alias because he has made a career of marrying wealthy women, taking their money, and then he doesn't kill them, at least. He just dumps them impoverished, but he takes off with their money. And he's done this like 17 times, and he's down there looking for his next mark.
That's one way to make your money.
Yep.
Yeah. So all of these people are in this hotel waiting to go on the voyage. One of the interesting things Vonnegut does in this book is put an asterisk in front of the name of anyone who is going to die in the book. So you don't have to like go to the last page and say, do they survive? No, he tells you right up front, they've got an asterisk in front of their name. And he liberally drops hints. Like there's the manager of the hotel. He has an asterisk in front of his name. He tells you this guy is going to die within the next 24 hours from a tidal wave.
And don't get attached to this one.
Oh, that's helpful.
He also tells you that early on in the book, basically there's very little structure to give you suspense in this book, because he tells you right up front what's going to happen and that ultimately these people are going to end up marooned on one of the more remote of the Galapagos Islands, and that they will be the starting point for the new humanity. In fact, he says, humanity, we're going back to the beginning of humanity 1 million years ago in the year 1986. So the narrative voice is someone who's speaking to us from 1 million years in the future and basically tells us pretty quickly that humanity is living in the oceans and they have flippers rather than hands. Sounds more like seals. So we have a story that we already know the ending of. We're given lots of bits of information in advance, so there's not a lot of suspense. It's more a question of how the heck are all these strange and weird elements going to come together? Oh, there are also 6 little girls ranging in age from about, I think, 5 to 9, who are the last surviving members of an Ecuadorian group of indigenous peoples who are cannibals. We have 6 little cannibal girls. We have the teacher, the billionaire, the marry them and take their money guy, the seeing eye dog. We're going to find out how all these lives collide in a very interesting way. Vonnegut, in almost every book he writes, he has a catchphrase. The famous one is, and so it goes, from Slaughterhouse-Five. In this one, the catchphrase is, well, he wasn't going to write Beethoven's 9th Symphony anyway, which is what they say about everybody when they die. This is a very tough book to explain. All I could do would be to throw out random little bits. But the trick is to find out how all those little bits go together. If you've never read Kurt Vonnegut, it's an experience you should have. That's about all I can say about that. Galapagos by Kurt Vonnegut.
Awesome. Makes me want to read it.
You would probably like it, Martha.
Yes, I probably would. I've read some Vonnegut, but I just have not read that one. It's on my list now. Okay, I have a book this week called Worry by Alexandra Tanner. This is a debut novel. And if you look at Goodreads, you're going to see a lot of wildly different responses to this book. Some people really hated it because it doesn't have a plot. Well, guess what? I really loved it. I liked Seinfeld too, so, you know.
So this will not be on Megan's TBR because I did not like Seinfeld.
It's not, the thing about this book is it's about two sisters, Jules and Poppy. And Jules lives in New York and Poppy comes to live with her. Well, Jules is really kind of an interesting character on her own. She, for fun, her guilty secret is stalking women on social media who are doomsday preppers and Mormon mommies, you know, the like really extremist type women. She spends half her time worrying about her sister and the other half hating her sister. Because if you have siblings, you understand how much you can love and hate them at the same time. Jules has been living alone in New York, single, but recently single. Her boyfriend walked out on her. And their mother is horrible to Poppy. So, of course, the mom and Jules are always talking, and Poppy is sort of left out on her own. Their mother is a mix of, really strange mix, actually, of Jewish but evangelical Christian at the same time. And she's in this bizarre mix of Trump-loving, I don't know what it is. It's bizarre. They go home for a holiday meal, and there's a great scene at a family dinner. And I'm sure if any of you have ever had time together with your family members you don't agree with, then you would definitely relate. Most of the book is about Poppy and Jules and their relationship together and the stuff that they snipe at each other about. And one of the things that happens, it's about mid-book that it happens, Poppy comes home with a dog. And it's a shelter dog. I believe it's hideous as well. And the dog's name is Amy Klobuchar. And the dog then becomes the center of their universe and the center of their arguments at the same time. So it's just like, it's like being a fly on the wall in the chaos of this family and these sisters. And I absolutely loved it. I read it so quickly, but there's a big caveat. There is some serious animal trauma at the end. So if you can't read it, if you're going to get pissed off at me about the dog. But it's really, really good. It's funny. Of course it's funny. That's why I loved it so much. Laugh out loud funny, actually. Very funny. But for a debut novel, I was really impressed with how easy it was to read and how much I loved it. Even though it didn't really have much of a plot. I think this book is a love it or hate it book. You can see it reflected in the reviews on Goodreads. It's got some 1- and 2-star reviews for people who are like, this has no plot. Well, guess what? Suck It Up is a great freaking book. I loved it. And it's called Worry by Alexandra Tanner. And I gave it 4.5 stars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I did forget I have a trigger warning for my book for assault. Since you're talking about trigger warnings, I forgot.
I don't ever do mine because all mine have 18 pages. As long as it's not.
The only thing people get really pissed off about
is when they kill the dog.
Exactly, which is why I brought it up.
Some people are not in a headspace to read a scene about assault. I forgot. I meant to write it down, and that's why I forgot to say it.
Yeah.
But your people do get very upset about animals.
And the really silly thing is, I never notice. It's a part of the story, and it doesn't affect me in that way.
Yeah.
So the only reason that I thought to remember to talk was somebody was yelling about it in the reviews.
Keith, what just happened?
Oh, you know what?
Keith just jumped out of her skin.
A cat just like threw themselves against the door and threw themselves into the room and made a big old
God,
thing.
That's hilarious. I can't wait to see what happens when you bring your dog home.
No, I can.
I am so excited that you're getting a dog.
You're getting a dog.
Should I add a statement that some Galapagos tortoises are harmed in my book?
Yes. Trigger warnings probably on all of our books.
The little picture in the chat.
Oh, that's...
That's Keith's new dog.
I just thought it was somebody who joined our group.
Oh, that's such a cute dog.
I thought it was a profile picture of somebody who joined our group. That's why I was kind of like...
Huh? And then kept listening to Taylor Swift.
So it's so exciting. I'm going to totally ignore that. It's so exciting, Keith, to hear that you are going to bring a new fur family member.
I mean, that dog is adorable.
Have you picked a name?
I think so.
Okay.
We name all our boys after Muppet characters, and Mr. Keith is pretty heavily into the Labyrinth movie. So we're going to call him Ludo.
Oh, I love Ludo.
Listen to us.
Except he's going to be little bitty.
It's
and
no
Ludo
Amy, whatever
big.
The hell. But,
Amy
Klobuchar. Okay.
It's no Amy Klobuchar.
Like, what the hell kind of name is that for a dog?
I know. It's just the book was freaking hilarious. I laughed so hard at so many times during that book.
I won't be here next week, though.
Where are you going to be taking care of your new dog next week, right?
No, the symphony's performing.
Oh, that's right. I wish we lived close so we could go see you sing.
Yeah, you can't really tell.
It's like
a bunch of people singing.
Could we be the obnoxious like parents at the end and be like, Keith!
No, they'd probably kick you out. Because it's a bunch of really fussy people.
Bring our cowbells.
Be like, in the background.
We would get escorted out straight jackets if we
the clap thing that they use in the Christmas songs? You know, there's a video like the
kid, I don't know what the hell that thing's called. What
song is it in? Jingle Bells?
Sleigh Ride.
Or Sleigh Ride. With the, you know, the...
Oh, the clip, clop, clip, clop.
Like the whip sound or whatever, the block. Yeah, that part. There's a video of a kid in like a high school. Have you seen it?
He jumped. You've never seen anybody as into playing this instrument.
He like runs across the entire stage and takes like a flying split jump. And as he's in like midair, he does that. And then like, it's great. Thank you to Novel Idea for hosting us on our book.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
Last week.
Guthrie is the most interesting little town. It was fun.
But yes,
well, we should probably mention that Keith's got something new coming up on our Patreon.
Yes.
Oh yes.
We're doing it. We're doing an ad. We've been very good. I think we've only had 1 week where we haven't posted since we re-engaged ourselves into our Patreon. So Keith has a sloppy seconds up of Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo.
So this is an incentive to all of yous who've been sitting on the fence. All of yous who've been sitting on the fence over there.
We say yins here.
Yins.
All y'all.
Been sitting on the fence.
All yins.
Think about all that extra content you are missing out on by not being a Patreon member. Support your local book girls.
Yes.
Maybe not so local, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
They're all local somewhere.
I think I'm going to do a sequel section that we haven't quite named yet. I think this week coming to Patreon. But Keith's is up now, and then Martha's done some, and Bonnie and Pat have done
some. We've all got some up there. Yeah. So there's lots of content on there. It's brand new content.
Yep.
And plus our old episodes that we did, special episodes for Patreon that you've never heard. They're all there.
Yep. Just waiting for your ears.
So join us on Patreon.
That does mean you have to hit pause on Tortured Poets Department. Sorry.
Bye. Megan, you promised, you bitch.
I've been so good. I haven't said half of what I want to say.
Let's find something funny for the end, please. Bonnie, you got anything?
I was at Walmart today, and they have monster porn books. I never thought I'd see the day when I could find monster porn at the Walmart.
What?
It was exciting.
I thought
Why
they
is it you can
puritanical about what they carried?
I bet you won't find that in the library.
So, is it like Ice Planet Barbarian? Like, what are we talking about?
It's like a weird demon with
come on.
You know when you have a deer and then you get all its skin off and it's just that thing with the antlers?
Uh-huh.
It has a head like that.
Oh. Holy crap. And you're like, do it?
Yeah. And it's like 8 feet tall or something. I mean, it's right up there with that, dinosaur.
So that
is it like a Wendigo kind of, or what?
Oh, Wendigo, some, Wendigo.
It does kind of remind me of, it's kind of what I picture as one, but I don't think they ever really, it's just a creepy monster.
So did you actually purchase said monster porn or did you just spot it there?
I didn't. I just spotted it. I haven't read it yet, but I was just really surprised, like, that
Walmart was so open-minded.
Anything that's popular on BookTok, I think, is getting published mainstream, including monster porn. I was just really surprised by it.
BookTok is good and dangerous for publishing.
Everybody wants to get a little freaky with it.
And all of the covers, a lot of the covers of some of the smuttiest book are really cartoony and cute. And then they're at Walmart, so these kids are like, Mom, can I have this? Yeah, throw it next to the Corn Pops. And then they're traumatized for life.
This
like
is
Bonnie
good.
And I, when we read V.C. Andrews, yes, when we were 12.
That's what I was yes. Like, the cartoon covers is going to be this generation's V.C. Andrews.
I swear to God, this is work.
But I feel like it's like monster a rite of passage porn. Of our ages that like
to read something wholly inappropriate, yes. Destroy your psyche.
Yes.
Yeah, it's something that scars you for life.
So kids, if you can't find it at your public library, just go to Walmart.
That's gonna do it for
Yay, Walmart.
Three book girls.
If you made it this far, you are truly bookish. So go to Facebook and join your fellow book lovers on the Three Book Girls Squad. Follow Three Book Girls on socials and be on the lookout for their next live event. Proud of their lack of shelf control, Three Book Girls is a Steel Trap production.